new society where we all can have peace and prosperity and equality. This world remains scattered and torn by the worsening conditions and the damaging views of some of the governing bodies in the world. And I know you all know who I'm talking about. And some church folks, they're walking in step with them. We know that it's sin, and it's on a local level, it's on a national level, and it's on an international level. But we thank God for his great plan of salvation. This is the plan to provide a solution to man's problem. You know, it's called salvation. That's the name of the plan. It's called the plan of salvation. Paul calls it the doctrine or the gospel of salvation. It embraces all of time, as well as eternity, past and present, and future. It includes, or it relates to all of mankind, everything about us, without exception. That's what it includes. Salvation is the total work of God by which he seeks to rescue man from the ruin and the power of sin. This is the plan that he's using to rescue us from the ruin and the power of sin. We want to give you a definitive definition of salvation. The word salvation communicates the thought of deliverance, safety, perseverance, soundness, restoration, and healing. And in theology, it's a major doctrine of the Bible, which includes redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, conviction. Listen to all these things. Conviction, repentance, faith, regeneration, forgiveness, justification, sanctification, perseverance, and glorification.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
If you will turn your Bibles to the book of Malachi. Last book of the Old Testament, book right before Matthew's. Malachi chapter 1, verse 13 is our launch scripture. Malachi chapter 1, verse 13 said, "Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it
and ye have snuffed at it, said the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of you, or your hand, saith the Lord? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, spiritual decline. Spiritual decline. This is the last message of the Old Testament, right before heaven is shut, and 400 years, there is silence between this book and the book of Matthew. God leaves a word to the people of God, and he leaves a harsh word, a strong word, a powerful word, but yet an appropriate word. Because what he recognizes is there has been and presently is, as Malachi writes this letter, as a burdensome letter, as a hard letter to the people of God who are in spiritual decline. One of the things that you know that he deals with the priest, he deals with the head, he deals with those who set the tenor and the tone for the worship experience and for the sacrifices of the Lord. And he doesn't cut any slack. And if you'll notice here, he makes it clear to them as he starts this word off. He says, verse 6, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Verse 7 says, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Now, verse 8 says, and if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Now the Lord says, now listen, let me just make it plain and clear. He says, you bring me stuff that's messed up, that's less than substandard, that's less than the best, that's less than perfect. You bring me stuff that you don't want. And then after God says this, he said, tell you what you do. Take the same stuff you offer to me and offer to your governor. Right. In other words, try to pay your taxes with the stuff you're trying to give your offerings to. He said, and see if your governor will accept that from you. Now, he's saying, if man won't accept your mess, what makes you think I'm going to receive
that's
your
it.
Mess?
Okay. That's it.
Now, listen to this. Malachi is not cutting any slack. He's making it clear because the standards of the Lord have been lowered even by the priests of God, followed by the people of God. God says there's got to be a restructured order here. You've got to realize who I am. You've forgotten who I am. You must have lost all sense of who I am. Even man would not accept what you are doing.
That's it.
To me, for himself. Look at this word, because I want you to see this word before we get to our text. And then this simply says again, verse 9, and now I pray you beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hands. What the Lord was saying was, listen, what you're doing is going through the motions.
Come on, come on.
He says, everything that you're doing is vain and it is fruitless. It is empty and it is hollow. You are simply getting up every Sunday morning, coming to church, and going through the motions because you are not connected to me where you ought to be connected to me. It's just a ritual. Now listen, because sometimes you can fall so far so fast that you don't realize how far you have fallen. And so they are not understanding why Malachi is coming down so hard on them. But it's not Malachi who's coming down hard on them. It's God who's giving him the message to tell the priest and the people, you better get your act together. It is unacceptable in my sight. I will not receive it. And I am sick and tired of your less than best offering and sacrifice and service. Now listen now. Listen. This is not Malachi speaking. This is God speaking.
That's right. That's right.
He's simply using him as the vessel. But he, God, is speaking this message. Look at verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Now listen to this. If church folk are talking bad about the church, what do you expect the world to say about it? If the priests are putting down the people, the priest is putting down the table of God, if the priest is putting down the sacrifice of God, if the priests are putting down the things of God, and the people are doing likewise, what do you expect the world to do? We are supposed to lift God up. We're supposed to lift Jesus up. We're supposed to lift the standards of the Lord up, so much so that the world sees who we are because of whom we are lifting and what it represents. But if we can't get it together, how will the world see us?
That's it.
You see, we can't just say anything about one another and expect the world to respect us. We can't treat one another any kind of way and expect the world to respect us. If we don't respect the house of God, if we don't respect the priest of God, the people of God, the things of God, how then can we be respected in the world?
That's it.
Or worse yet, how can our God be respected?
That's right.
And so it's amazing. Because he's meeting them right where they live, treating God's house worse than they treat their own house.
Mm.
Talking about God things. God's priest and God's people. And yet God is still sitting high, looking low, and taking a record. And he's not pleased with it. You know, if you look at the New Testament church, you will discover that it wasn't the world that caused the church to scatter. You'll discover that turmoil and tribulation was not the problem from without. It was the problem from within.
Man.
And from within, it scattered. And God took what the devil meant for evil and turned it into good. But it still did not present God in the kind of light, just as those things that we do and say and talk. How are people going to respect the house of God, the servants of God, the people of God, if we don't? You know, if somebody talks about your priest, your pastor, and you chime in with them, you are worse than them. If somebody talks about your church and the God that rests or lives or abides in your ministry, and no, there isn't a church open that's perfect. We recognize that, because when the church was perfect and God let people in, it ceased to be perfect. So we recognize every church got issues.
That's it.
Some may be disclosed and some may still be hidden, but every church has issues because the people in the church,
they got issues.
And if they didn't have issues before you joined it, then they just got a new case of issues.
Right now,
I'm leaving that church. I don't like the way they do things. And you go to the other church over there, and then they do things differently, but they got some other issues. And I don't care where you go, as long as man is a part of it, it's going to have issues. And remember again, if they didn't have them before you joined. Change begin.
It's all right.
It's all right, right now.
Now listen to this. Listen to what he says. He says in verse 13, and I just want to break this down because he deals with three areas. He deals with the heart, he deals with the head, and he deals with the hands. Look at this. All in this verse. I want you to see this. Look at verse 13 again. Let's start off because the word says, ye said, listen again, also, behold, focus in now. Same primitive etymological root word to get the word binoculars, which means to point that is far close. What a weariness is it. What a weariness. Just got through saying the table of the Lord is contempt. The things of God is disrespectful and disgraceful and put to a public shame. And now you say to be in the house of the Lord, to do the things of God, to be in worship service is weariness. Which means that they were bored and bothered and saw it as a burden.
Let me put on my clothes and go to church, sir. I'm so sick and tired of this. I hope so-and-so don't preach. He preached too long. I won't be there all day long. I get tired of them, all that praise singing. They don't need to do all that. Just say one song, sit down. They got to praise for 20 minutes. All that ain't called, oh, get them running all around the church. That's stupid. What they running around the church for? Oh, but you can go to a football game. Sit outside where there is no air condition, no cushioned pews, and you can sit there for hours, get up, scream, and jump like you done lost your ever-loving mind. It can start raining. You bring your little stuff to cover you up so you don't have to leave to see how to get, but you're coming to church for a couple of hours is a burden to you.
Yeah.